everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and I have a brand new podcast series that we are going to be doing, hypothetically speaking, about the people who may or may not be in the cast of the upcoming Big Brother All-Stars BB22, scheduled to premiere on Wednesday night, August 5th. There are a lot of names and rumors swirling around, and a lot of those names are changing even as we speak. But what we wanted to do here, because we don't know necessarily what this preseason is going to look like, whether or not we'll even get a cast before we get to Wednesday, August 5th, what we started doing is doing a series of interviews where we are going to attempt to preview the chances and review the history and the story of every person potentially that is going to be in this Big Brother cast. So in this podcast, you are going to hear two previews. One about the three-time, potentially four-time Big Brother legend, Janelle Pierzina. And we're going to talk about the potential return of Cody Calafiore. That's all going to be here in this podcast. We're going to release one or more of these every day in between now and the premiere of Big Brother on August 5th. You'll hear from myself and a panel, or Taryn Armstrong, who'll be with me as well on this podcast as well, with a panel of your returning RHAP favorites. And we'll also be introducing a number of the RHAP class of 2020 newcomers. We've done a huge casting call in this last month where we saw over 650 people send in applications. You'll be hearing from many of those standouts here in this series as well. So without further ado, we will throw it over to our first preview, where we're going to be talking about Janelle Pierzina. And if you're so inclined and you like this sort of content here on Rob Has a Podcast, you can go ahead and leave us some feedback and a rating. Head on over to ratethispodcast.com/RHAP. Now, here's Janelle, and stay tuned for Cody Calafiore. All right, everybody, let's get this started. Hypothetically speaking, talking about the return of Janelle Pierzina to the Big Brother house. Very excited to get started on this journey. We could not do this without this man who will be here every step of the way talking about the live feeds with you every morning on the Big Brother Morning Update. Please welcome in the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. Very excited. It's all stars, and we're going to talk about these people. Like, I'm getting to use this encyclopedia in my head that I never use. This is great.
Yeah, very excited, Taryn. And you and I will be sort of splitting up the list of people. Maybe 16. Who knows? Maybe we'll do more as rumors start to go. This cast list keeps changing, so we'll try to cover as many names as we can here in this next week or so. So very, very excited to get the chance to work on this with you. Of course, a man who has been following the Big Brother rumor mill very, very closely. It's our own Brent Waldmott. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing great, and it's nice to be back podcasting. I have to say that I sort of fell into the pre-rumor mill Big Brother who's going to be on game, but it's been very rewarding, and I've had a good time, so I hope you all have enjoyed it with me. It's nice following the clues along the way.
Okay, we want to get an update from you in a moment, but let me just also introduce a woman who is brand new to RHAP, who is here to help us talk about in this very first segment that we're going to do. Please welcome Chantel Francis. Chantel, how are you?
Hi, get the bell. I'm amazing. I'm happy to be here, especially since I'm from Canada and season 8 of Canada's Big Brother was cut short because of COVID. It was really exciting to hear that we're going to get some Big Brother, because I don't think of a summer without Big Brother US. It's been my summer for the last over 20 years. So I'm so excited to be talking here today about Big Brother 22.
Chantel, could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
About me, I'm from Toronto, as I've mentioned. I've always been kind of growing up in the arts and entertainment world, but I fell in love with reality TV when I was in high school, and I've been watching pretty much everything ever since, and fell in love with Big Brother and Survivor season 1. I watched season 1 of Big Brother as well, so I love it, and I've been obsessed with it ever since, me and my mom.
Now, Taryn, a lot of people came into this week thinking that we were going to officially get a cast release on Monday. That does not appear to be the case. Do you think that we will get a confirmed list from CBS before we get to the premiere? Or do you think that they're just going to say, hey, you want to know who's on the show? Tune in August 5th.
it's been crazy because on the live feeds, there's been a page up there saying on Wednesday, you'll get to see the new cast, tune in. And there were rumors that, as you said, that we would hear about the cast on Monday before Wednesday, we just wouldn't have interviews. But then the rumors started going that that's going to get pushed. And then there were also rumors that then Wednesday was also going to get pushed. And now the page on the live feeds has disappeared and changed into tune in on the 5th for the premiere, which does kind of indicate that perhaps we might be seeing no cast at some point, though there are still some rumors out there that the interviews are still taking place. And if that's true, then if there are interviews, then surely we'll see them before the premiere, I would imagine. But who knows?
Brent, what do you think? Are we going to get an official cast from CBS before the season starts?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I take Taryn's point well that we might just get them on the live move-in. Mm-hmm. And I am convinced that they don't even know who's in the cast at this point. So how are they going to tell us who's in the cast if they don't know? Everybody has to understand it's a very fluid situation taking place in the middle of a pandemic. I know that goes unsaid, but a lot of people tend to forget how much this plays with everything. And I am convinced that things are still up in the air.
Chantel, you're not tapped in. You don't have any rumors, do you?
I mean, we did see that Robin Cass removed a tweet. Apparently, she was excited about the cast reveal that was supposed to be happening on Monday the 5th. And then, they changed that date. So she just removed the tweet and people are speculating it's because the cast has changed. And so the cast reveal was not going to be happening on the Monday anymore.
Okay. So we can only control what we can control. And that is going to be to talk about people that are hypothetically on this season. And one of the big names that has been hypothetically floated and reported on has been the return of Janelle Pierzina for a fourth trip to the Big Brother house on the heels of a amazing race stint from last year. Chantel, what would it mean for you for Janelle to be back in the Big Brother house?
It would mean everything. Obviously, I've said before that I've been watching since season one, but season six, I still feel is like my favorite season of Big Brother. Anybody that I've wanted to get into Big Brother, I was like, you have to watch season six. And I think that was a big part of Janelle being in there and how she played the game. It was just really exciting to see somebody. She's beautiful, but then she's also a comp piece and strategic and likable. And she just kind of had everything that I felt was entertaining and watching in a Big Brother house guest. And she did so well that I wanted to root for her. And I think she's great.
Okay. Now, Brent, you are a longtime Janelle fan also.
Yes. And I go hot and cold with Janelle, but she's the perfect kind of reality show player because in season six, we got to see her and she was everybody's favorite. We loved her. Like most people hated the friendship and we loved the Sovereign Six. And of course, she was part of that. And it was so fun to watch her just absolutely shove it down their throats every week when America's Choice went for her time and time again. I will say, though, that in Big Brother All-Stars, the first incarnation, Big Brother 7, that it was like I typically root for the underdog and Janelle was not the underdog on Big Brother 7. She was in control for a good part of the first part of the game. And a lot of our favorites tended to go out. So I think I got off the Janelle train a little bit. But then when she started to lose control of the game to Chilltown, then I came back. So, it's really hard not to like Janie and Big Brother 14. Did that even happen? Like, what
sure
are we talking
happened.
About? Yeah. Like, she wasn't on for very long. I don't really think it speaks much to her game.
Yeah. Taryn, I always love to hear about the chronicles of young Taryn watching these seasons the first time through. What was young Taryn's reaction to Janelle?
I loved Janelle. I especially loved Kacer, and I loved that Janelle was with Kacer. I remember, early in... right? I remember early in season six, like she liked to play chess and she had like a confessional about like, I can tell things about people by the way they play or something along those lines. And I was like, oh, she's so smart. This is amazing. I love her. And I was definitely, you know, rooting for her. I was very anti-friendship as a young child.
As you should be.
Yes.
As most people were, right?
And I went into All-Stars fully, I'm season six Stan. Like, let's go Janelle and Kacer. Yep. James, why are you screwing them over? I was converted to back over to Chilltown because I had initially been a Dr. Will person, but Kacer was just too likable. And so I was like anti-Dr. Will, but then I came back around on Dr. Will. But I was never overly impressed. I think even then by like her strategic ability, but she was just an amazing character that you just want to root for. I think is the thing that, that Janelle has going for.
Okay. Chantel, let's talk about the story of, Big Brother 6 Janelle and how, we first ultimately met this woman who, is potentially going to, make history as a four-time Big Brother player.
Well, you know, they started that season with pairs and her pair went out really early. And I think that,
who was her pair?
What was
Ashley?
Ashley. Yeah. Yeah. So I think Ashleya went out first and then she kind of got into a showmance with Michael, which was Kacer's partner. And so when Michael went out, that's when Janelle and Kacer got together and they started working together. And I know you're saying that you don't feel that she has that much strategy, but I think that she's learned how to play her game that works for her. She's out in the open with her alliances. She makes like, these are my people. These are who I'm going to stand with. I'm going to draw the line and it's us against them. And I'm going to win these competitions to keep my team together. And I think that that narrative is what she kind of developed in season six. And she carried it through on the next two seasons.
Brent, whatever happened to Ashleya? I feel like I've never seen this woman before in my life. And I don't know. I've never heard her name again since.
I know,
Big
right?
Brother.
When I say, did Big Brother 14 ever happen? Like, did Ashleya ever happen? Like,
was she the first person out?
Yeah, she was ironically, she was the first person out. And then Michael, who was Janelle's love interest, yes, was the second person out. So, Janelle didn't have very good luck on that season.
In my mind, I guess I thought that Mike was Janelle's partner. I'm like, oh, yeah, she had a showmance with the guy and then he was out early. But no, I have no recollection of Ashleya.
No, Mike was Kacer's partner. Yeah. And Kacer and Janelle bonded because they had both lost their partners. Also, they're amazing. And by the way, there is a storm in my area, so I might get cut off at any moment when my power goes out. But
Hurricane Howie is with you.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah.
Yes. Taryn, can you talk about the formation of the Sovereign Six, I guess, or the sort of like the rise up of the Janelle side of the house?
Yeah, well, I mean, part of it stemmed from, you know, Kacer and Cappy at the time were trying to form something, and James was kind of talking about it. Michael was kind of in on it, but Cappy was very worried about Michael because he was very flirty with the women, and like he was flirting with Jennifer, and then. And all of this stuff. And so, Cappy was like, Kacer, you gotta keep an eye on him. And Kacer was like going to Michael, like, dude, you gotta stop flirting with people. Cappy's getting, annoyed. And Kacer was trying to like vouch for Michael. And, it became clear that, especially with the way that the pairs were, shaped at the time, that, that Kacer and Cappy were just not, it's not gonna work out. So Kacer ends up, there's a big split. Kacer ends up on the sort of Janelle side of things. They gravitate toward Howie and Rachel. And that's sort of like the formation there as Cappy and Maggie end up on the other side of things with, you know, Yvette and Jennifer and Beau and them and April. And then, you know, you initially had James and Sarah, you know, sort of with the six, but then they did their floppy thing. Mm-hmm.
Much to their demise.
Yeah.
It really was like they weren't the people that initially gravitated toward each other. They really were kind of pushed together by circumstance. And I think you see that play out in All-Stars when they're in an alliance and do not function.
Mm-hmm. Chantel, could you talk a little bit about Janelle and her role as sort of like the de facto leader of that side of the house?
Well, I think that she's good at competition. So it was easy for her to be the in the face of that alliance, we'll say. You know, she would be willing to make those lines, be like, give me that key. And she was willing to stand out amongst that group and kind of be the leader. And so I think that her role kind of developed for her in that sense, because she was always winning the things and was willing to be putting herself out there.
Yeah, I will say that's definitely true. The one thing that should be pointed out, though, is in Big Brother 6, Janelle did not win HOH until week 7 when she said, give me that key. Like, it was just she only won 2 HOHs and 2 vetoes that season, and most of them were in the latter half of the game. So early on, she was just like a character that people enjoyed in the house. She wasn't like some comp amazingness, and sort of evolved into that before our eyes, much to our joy and surprise.
Taryn, do you feel like that Janelle really thrives in an environment where there's a lot of conflict and tension in the house? Is that her strong suit?
Yes, I think so. Now, granted, at the start of Big Brother All-Stars, the original one, you know, as Brent said, she was kind of in control. She kind of went head-to-head with Jace on, they were co-HOHs, and she got her way that week. And she kind of continues to get her way a little bit as the season goes. It's very typical of Brent to not like a player when they're doing well and to only like them when they're not doing well. So she does have those chops, and even in Big Brother 14, where you don't see her play a lot, you do see that she knows the game well at this point. She knows what she's doing. She knows how to play, and she's ready to like make alliances. In fact, I think that her Big Brother 14 stint will tell us a lot more about her than what we saw, you know, 7 years prior, because she was a lot more subdued in Big Brother 14. Now, she never really had a chance to, like, call war. So maybe you're right. Maybe that if she had been more out in the open, she would have been more successful. But also, you know, the kinds of competitions that the show does are different than they were back then. You know, Janelle was amazing at these question comps, at these skill comps. They're very, very overtly physical now, assuming that that's what we get this season, given the current state of the world. And that may impact how her game functions.
Chantel, could you talk a little bit about Janelle's prowess in the competitions?
She just seemed to be really good at everything. And I think it's like, it's not in her blood to give up or to quit. Like, she will just push herself to the end. And usually it's just going to be that little bit further than the next person. So she's going to snag out the win. She's very meticulous and particular and resilient. And I think that all of that is why she's so good at these competitions. It's like, she'll never stop. She'll never let go. Except in the final 3, she'll let go by accident. But you know, in most cases, she is going to hang on till the bitter end.
Yeah, we don't talk about that, Chantel. That didn't happen either.
Did she have a most impressive competition win?
The only one I've just recently watched was in season 14 when she had to like do her hips back and forth, and like this is a weird one.
That's a weird one.
Yeah,
so strange.
Yeah. Coaches competition.
Yeah. I don't remember if she won or not, but I think that it was the most impressive for her to keep a straight face for all of those competitions in that series.
She actually won the veto. I think she was the first house guest to change one of her own nominations, if not the first head of household to change one of her own nominations in Big Brother 6, when she took she took Maggie off the block to put up Yvette to make sure that she got Jennifer out of the house. She won the HOH and the veto that week. Those were her first 2 competition wins ever. I think the legend of Janelle really came to the forefront in Big Brother 7 in All Stars, because that's where she just won everything in sight. And it was like, are you getting tired of winning yet? Like, cause I kind of am. So, I wanted to just like, you want to root for people, but you also want them to feel like they have to go through hardship. And for the first part of that game, she never had to go through any hardship.
Taryn, does Janelle have a signature mistake in Big Brother 6 that cost her the game? Is it just not holding on to win that final 3 HOH?
I mean, it's arguable that that she even could have won a jury vote, even if she had won that final part. You know, there's, of course, debates back and forth. It's an old season now, so it's especially hard to figure out. But I mean, really, they just, I think the signature Janelle mistake in that season was letting Howie make the terrible mistake during his week
that's
as HOH.
Yeah.
Because that's where the Sovereign Six loses. And she was not capable of breaking through to the Friendship Alliance, which nobody was that season. Maggie was very, very good at holding them, holding the line. And so from that point forward, it was always going to be really difficult for her to win the game. And she probably came about as close as she could.
Chantel, does Janelle have any catchphrases?
Give me that key.
Yeah.
Right? That's about all I remember,
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye-bye, bitches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely those two ring a bell.
Yeah, I feel like that. Does she have something with Howie going back and forth? Like
I mean, Jedi like... Janie and Jedi Howie. I mean, with the lightsabers and whatnot.
What up,
and...
Kacer?
Yeah. What up, Kacer? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Which we're going to hear again. So,
okay. We're going to bring it back.
She does name herself to be the ultimate Big Brother house guest in season 14. She does claim that as hers. So,
okay. What about anything else from Big Brother 6 before we move on to Big Brother All Stars, Janie?
No, I'm good. I share Taryn's point, though, that I'm not sure she could have won a jury vote that season, even if she does win. She made it to the final part of the final HOH, where she just lost to Yvette, and Yvette evicted her. I mean, like, you know, then those were the crazy questions where it's like, you know, who said what in the jury about what, and what would they have said? And it's like, you can't even predict half the time what
these people
would have said. Yeah, it's a total crapshoot. So I think that she did about as well as she could do. I take Taryn's point as well that letting Howie make that nomination of screwing over James was just using up his HOH on James was so terrible because you remove a piece from the board that the other side needs to get out and then you can't win HOH the next week. That's just like putting yourself really behind the eight ball.
Okay, so Janelle, incredible fan favorite, locked to come back for the first Big Brother All-Stars. She ends up coming back, of course, co-HOH with Jace in week one. Taryn, how would you sum up Janelle in Big Brother All-Stars?
I mean, she comes back and both her and Kacer, like all of season six, they come back wanting to just... It's a do-over for them. We're back in an alliance. This time we're going to win. This time we're not going to lose. And very quickly, they're kind of introduced to a much more complex game than the one they experienced in Big Brother 6 because Dr. Will is there and he's somehow their opponent, even though there are bigger threats out there, like competition-wise and bigger groups out there. Dr. Will and Mike Boogie have been doing a lot of pre-gaming and they're calling out Kacer. And eventually, Will and Kacer are going to make a deal like, hey, we're the big dogs. Let's target all the floaters so that, you know, we don't get picked off. Essentially like the lions and hyenas, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what like Kacer and Janelle buy into, especially because at this point, Janelle is getting sort of, wooed by, Dr. Will. And you know, then you have people like James, who's very upset about this this line of strategy, and he's going to break off. And so a lot of her game is dictated by the relationship she has with Dr. Will right from the start. He is working on that group. He is working in particular on Janelle. He really he works her from the beginning to the end. He's throwing competitions to her when his allies don't want her to win. He is propping her up as this big figurehead target that everybody's looking at while he's in their pockets stealing their money. And she buys into it for a long time. It's not until the end of the game when she finally turns around that that she really says, wait a minute, have you been playing me this whole time? You know, she's definitely playing hard, but she's being directed by somebody else, I think, is definitely the perspective that a lot of people have.
Okay. Chantel, as a Janelle stan, were you shipping Dr. Will and Janelle OTP.
I was obsessed.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I didn't care about the gameplay because I fell in love with Dr. Will season two. I figured out through like ICQ links how to get the live feeds on my TV. Like, I loved Dr. Will, and seeing Dr. Will and Janie have an opportunity to have like a showmance or a fomance or whatever that was, I was living for every second of it. I didn't care if she was feeding her garbage. Like, I just wanted to see that. I was like Janie. She was believing it, and I was eating it all up. I didn't care. I loved it.
Yeah,
he got you through the screen.
He got me. I was just I know that you have a relationship out here, but like, you and Janie really are going to be. It's a thing. It's my ideal world.
Yeah, I would also agree with Taryn. The thing about Janie was that she was so directed that season. And the thing with Dr. Will was that he wasn't necessarily pro Janelle or pro Danielle Reyes, who was also on Big Brother All-Stars. He was like, if one got too much ahead, he was like willing to let the other one stay. Like, there was a time where Janelle was HOH and she was trying to get Janelle out. Janelle was HOH trying to get Danielle out, and he was like helping Danielle. And then Danielle is HOH trying to get Janelle out, and he's helping Janelle. Like, I mean, it was just absolutely infuriating from a stan or fan's point of view. And it took me a while to realize who was actually in control of the game. It wasn't the two women that I was rooting for. It was this guy behind the scenes.
Okay, Taryn, where does it go wrong for Janelle in Big Brother All-Stars?
I mean, in this case, it's really just like she lost that final comp. I mean, if she can win that and bring Erica, then I think she's pretty solid.
So I have a theory. I just want to say that. Okay, so remember that Erica's crazy ass decides to ask a question to Julie right when the competition starts. They're hanging on to this volcano, right? Okay, there's a key above them. They have to hang on to the key. Erica says, "Julie, I have a question. Do I have to use one hand or both hands?" Julie answers, after talking with producers off screen, she says, "Both hands." So now they have to have both hands. Now, Janelle, she can't necessarily hear what Erica is saying because she's on the other side of the goddamn volcano, all right? So then Boogie jumps off the volcano, and then Janelle is like, "What?" And she momentarily lets go of her hand with the key. Rob, it was total BS. I am so mad about it to this day. Like,
I remember.
Julie never came on Julie never came on and said, "Hey, you guys have to have both hands on the key." She never said that. But then, like, it was all on live TV, unfortunately. And unfortunately, they had the live shot of Janelle with her hands on the goddamn key at the very moment that it happened, that they couldn't just be like, "Okay, we didn't see that." No, because everyone saw it. And then they had to roll Janie out. And then, of course, she was in the part two with Boogie, and it was all upper body strength, and she lost that to Boogie. So frustrating.
Chantel, that it's an amazing resume for Janelle through two seasons to get to third place both times, to be just outside of the money. And she walks away with this amazing accomplishment.
Well, now there's like, I use the term all the time, is getting Janelle'd. And I played some live reality games where I was Janelle'd twice. And so
I can see that. You have that energy.
Yes. So it actually has to do with winning that final comp. I think if you're a similar player to Janelle and you can get yourself to that final three spot, it's all about winning that last comp and being able to kind of dictate, like having that final head of household is the most important, I think, for that type of player. She needs to take herself to the end.
Yeah. The thing too about Janelle, she's such a vivacious, like likable presence that she's going to always have to win that final comp. She's never going to be in a position where she can just be like, no matter what happens here, I can just lay off like freaking Derek in 16. You know, like there's no scenario where that's going to happen. She's going to have to win. She doesn't win, she's out. And that's why, you know, if I can speak for him, Taryn maybe doesn't care for Janelle as much from a strategy point of view rather than from a competition point of view.
Is that true, Taryn?
I think also, I think she's an interesting player to look at socially because she has trouble finding close allies, which is weird to say because she's part of like one of the most likable and famous alliances ever. But as I said, they kind of came together out of necessity and they were pretty much a hot mess all throughout All Stars. And we see her come back in season 14. And again, she struggles to find allies that are loyal to her. All of the people that she ends up aligning with often see her as exposable, which is what happens to her. In, you know, she's exposable to pretty much all of her allies in season seven, except for maybe like Howie and Kacer. In season 14, she fails to bond with her team when she's a coach. They rebel from her, essentially. She fails ultimately. She had a thing with Brittany. She was working on Dan, but ultimately they choose Boogie over her. They see her as expendable. And she struggles to find those like solid, like social, bonds. And so, you know, she kind of works on a more strategic and competitive level than a social one. And I think that's something that people don't, I think, pay attention to when they're looking at Janelle's game most of the time.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting observation, Chantel, that so much of the success of Big Brother players comes from the ability to be under the radar, but Janelle is a player, and maybe this is why she's popular, is that she's never under the radar. So everybody in every house that she's in, they're keenly aware of who she is and what she's doing.
And yeah, that's what I definitely love about her. She's not afraid of being herself. She's not afraid of winning. She's not afraid of drawing the line in the sand. Like, she is out there to play and win, and she's not going to hide in the background and then wait for her sneak attack moment. Like, she is there ready to play. And that's what I really appreciate watching her game. But she also does have to learn how to massage the relationships that she's in the house. And I think that is her biggest downfall, is not realizing that people are more emotional than she might be. People are not playing as hard as she might be. And so I think that, you know, recognizing that people might be playing a little bit differently than she is will make her do better maybe this time around.
See, that's my question. Like, does Janie have it within her? Because we've seen her. She's always played like OTT. So she's always on top of things, right?
I think she was on that one, Brent.
No, I'm not. She's always somebody who's out in front. She's never under the radar, right? So does she have it within her, Chantel, to throw a competition?
To throw one? No way. I don't think she
can. Just saying. Like, does she, like, I mean, because I feel like it's like a vicious circle. Like, if she starts winning early on, then you have to keep winning early on. You have to keep winning in order to not be targeted. And it's just like a terrible circle. Like, why not throw off early and play like, okay, like, I'm over, like, I don't know how old is she now? I forgot to look. Like, I'm older now, I can say that. And I'm eight years removed from the last time I was on Big Brother. I can't do these competitions anymore. Like, what are you talking about?
This is
like
a really good point, like, Brent. That. Yeah, Chantel, do you think that could she take a page from Tony in Survivor Winners at War, and instead of playing big, fast, you know, from the jump, that can she work on building a ladder to the second floor of the house? could she do projects that potentially could be a little bit disarming people?
Chantel, she's 40 years old now, so she has that card to play if she wants to. Like, hey,
she
I'm 40.
Definitely
like,
could. She's a Capricorn, and Capricorns are brilliant. They're hardworking. They always are showing up. They want to be
you
on
say
top.
A Capricorn.
It could be a Capricorner.
Yes.
But a Capricorn is what her star sign is. And I feel as though that energy is always going to be living within her. She's always want to be working hard. Like, that is her innate nature, is to be a workhorse, to get things done, to be out in front. And so it would be against her nature, really, to go and be in the background. She might be able to play it up, you know, like, oh, I'm 40 now, I have a family, you know, I don't do that well. You saw how I did on Amazing Race. We didn't do that great. Like, maybe she could play that up, but I don't think that when she's in the actual competition that she will take her hand off that key. I think it would be too much PTSD.
Yeah.
Taryn, let's talk about the Big Brother 14, Janelle. She is one of the four captains that gets brought back, and I think she has the worst draft of the four captains. What does she have? Willie Hance, right?
No, that was Brittany.
No, she has Will.
Okay. Who's on her team? Will?
It's Chef Joe, Will, and
Ashley.
Ashley, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Bad draft. Taryn, do you think that if she had drafted better, do you think that would have helped her chances?
You know, she didn't really manage to bond with many of the new players. And maybe she could have if other players had been on her team. But she really did struggle in that sense. She did have, like I said, she did work with Brittany for a little while. But Brittany ultimately is going to see her as expendable. She was working with Will closely. She was trying to work with the people on her team. They eventually are just like, she's not doing enough for us. Like, we don't need to, work with her. She's too big of a target. And so she kind of just drifted through that game and never really had too much of a shot. She needed to get in with that group instead of Boogie. If she had managed to do that, she might have had a chance to go further. And she did play a lower key game. I think it's important to note that Janelle has probably more experience playing Big Brother than almost anybody else in the history of the show. And she knows how the game works. And you saw that she understood how the game works in Big Brother 14. She could see the pieces on the board. She was laying them out well. She was telling Brittany about things that they should be doing, and she was pretty correct most of the time. The problem was that the tools that she was using were, they were rusty. They were like, they just weren't working well, right? Something was wrong. Like, the execution was off. There's been rumors that she has been pretty full force in the pregame, going typical Janelle style, like, let's go. We're going to be making alliances. We're going to be doing a bunch of stuff. Now, that could be great if it means that she comes onto the season and she says, I already did my work. I'm just going to let the work play out. But I think more likely we're going to see that level of energy being brought to the season. Although I still don't think it will be Big Brother 6 and 7 energy. I do think it will be more like Big Brother 14 energy. And I think that could work for a short period of time. Again, the biggest thing for me is, has she made close enough personal bonds with some of these other players to actually have an in to do her work?
Brent, have you heard this, any rumors about Janelle trying to pregame hard? And if so, who are some people that she could be hypothetically aligned with?
I could not tell you the people that she's hypothetically aligned with. Maybe Taryn can help you more on that respect. But I have heard that she's been working hard at it, and that she is someone who has had her hands in a lot of different cookie jars. So I'm hoping that for her sake, that they are not aware of that. But on the other hand, they had their phones up until like a couple of days ago, is my understanding. And if I'm aware of that, then they're aware of that. So how much, as long as everyone thinks that Janie's on their side, I think she'll be fine. But if they think that she's double crossing them, not so much. I will say, although I do think that Janelle is somebody that wears her heart on her sleeve, and like, you pretty much know if she likes it or she doesn't. So I appreciate that about her.
Chantel, do you see any hypothetical allies in the mix for Janelle here?
My hypothetical allies is that if Danielle Donato is on there, if she works with her as well as Kaser.
Do they have a past relationship, Danny Donato and Janelle?
No, but I just really like them both.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I would love to see them working together. Obviously, Kaser, I think that she would be... She'd work with him for sure. Those three would be.
What about Ian? Like, Ian was she was on his original winning season of Big Brother. If Ian Terry is back in the mix for Big Brother All Stars, do you think that they would work together?
I mean, they might as well. They know each other a little bit. She was, she wasn't that favorable towards him in the beginning of that season, but she might have grown them doing press and stuff like that within the Big Brother world. They might have become a little bit closer friends, and that was quite a while ago. So he might have grown up and they might have grown together as allies. So it would be a good possibility.
Taryn, do you feel like that there's going to be potentially like an old school, new school divide among the players in the house? Like, do you feel like that the newer school players are just going to feel more comfortable working with each other and target the players who are the older players?
I think so. I think it will at least be part of the narrative, or maybe not part of the narrative, part of the structure of how things work.
Part of the literal structure. Like, I've been looking at recent projected cast lists, and it looks very like eight old school people and eight new school people. So, I mean, like, if Big Brother is looking to, possibly have a sub theme of the All-Star season, I think that that's possible, Taryn.
Yeah, I don't think the lines will be as even as it was on Winners at War and Survivor, where it was really like all the old school people were all friends and all the new school people were all friends. I think there's going to be more mixture. But I think that by the nature of being an old school player and having fewer, neighboring seasons around you that have players coming from them, players like Danielle Donato, you know, she doesn't have as many connections as somebody like, we've been talking, Josh is another name that has been out there, who knows at this point, but Josh has a lot of connections with a lot of the new players versus somebody like Danielle Donato or even Janelle, who obviously has a connection to Kacer and obviously was on season 14, which is somewhat more recent, but they have fewer connections and thus will need to reach out to other people that they feel like are in the same boat as them and will be excluded from, you know, friend groups or connection groups that are more recent. And so I do think that it will be there, but I'm not sure it will be as big as it was on Survivor.
Chantel, that we talked about Danielle and Janelle in Big Brother All-Stars as people that were vying against each other, that Danielle Reyes is one of the names that's hypothetically out there, and although her Twitter account vehemently denies it, do you think that if Danielle Reyes was hypothetically there, would they be people that is a familiarity there that they would be able to work together, or do you think that there's any animosity?
I think that they would work together, especially if there's any theme of old school new versus new school. I think that they're both mature enough to be like, okay, that was that season like 15 years ago or however long ago it was. And let's work together and let's school these new schoolers. I think that they would work together for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I have to believe that. Not even just that, but even in Big Brother All-Stars originally, like I remember Julie Chen asking Danielle, you know, do you think that these two people are the two best players in the game, you know, looking at Erica and Boogie, and Danielle was like, not a chance. And she's like, who do you think should be sitting in the final two? And she was like, Janelle and Dr. Will. Like she was already giving it up to her, 5 minutes after she was out of the game. So I have every anticipation that if both of them are in the house, that they will definitely work together.
Taryn, if Janelle is in this game and she gets to the house, what does a great week one look like for Janelle?
I think her being in a group that has the HOH, I think that, I think she may be looking to work with, like women, that she might be like, trying to align with other women in the game. And so let's say she is wanting to work with Danielle Donato, I think it makes a lot of sense for them to connect. They have very similar sort of positions in the game as big names, competition threats. And they say they want to work together. If somebody like Danielle Donato wins an HOH and Janelle is like, yes, great, we're in power, let's make a majority alliance from this first HOH. That's a great spot for Janelle to be in. I think that's her ideal position.
Yeah.
Also, it's also very important to remember that originally Janelle was on Big Brother. She was single and now she has, you know, family and kids, and she's much more about celebrating other women and herself. And so I think that she, not just like somebody like Danielle Donato, but somebody like Bailey or Davon Rogers or any one of a variety of women that are in the house, I think that if they're willing to work with Janelle, she is definitely going to work with them.
Chantel, do you think it is in the cards, hypothetically, could Janelle be the winner of Big Brother All-Stars?
That's a dream. I think it will be a very hard...
Allow yourself to dream it, Chantel. Yeah. We can do it.
What I'm hoping is that everybody that's new school is going to be so worried about their Twitter followers and Instagram followers that they will not want to do Janelle dirty and get her out of the house because of worried of any backlash. So I'm hoping that her sheer queenness is going to, you know, help her stay within the game at least a long time. And the longer she stays in there, the more danger she obviously
Brent,
is going to get.
You gave a thumbs up there. Is that thumbs up that you agree with the take, or that that's what you're hoping for?
I agree with the take. I hope that they are like, I'm not touching Janelle with a 10-foot pole. My followers would revolt against me. There's no way. Like, I have to at least let Janelle get to jury. Like, there's plenty of other filler people in the cast that we can get rid of before Queen Janelle.
Taryn, do you think that that is a realistic possibility? Will Big Brother players, Big Brother All-Star players, hold off on voting off big targets because that they would be worried about a backlash?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think these people are coming in. I think... if you are a non-big name person, you want Janelle gone because you don't want it to be Janelle's season. You want it to be your season. And I think Janelle is a great trophy to put on your mantle.
They already got their damn trophy last time on 14. I'm tired of hearing about the goddamn trophies.
It wasn't the same people. And so I don't.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think that that Janelle will have a buffer there. I think there are some people on this cast who like people would be like people wouldn't want to go again. Theoretical people on this cast, but like people wouldn't want to go after somebody like Davon. I think where like Davon is so liked in the community, people want to see Davon. But people have seen Janelle three times. They've only seen Davon, you know, a couple times for portions of the season. I think that people like Janelle, again, like they're trophy pieces. Like they want to take these big names out. They want to make it their season. So I would not expect much protection from for big names.
Okay. Brent, anything else you want to say about Janelle?
No, I'm just excited that Janie's coming back to Big Brother. And hopefully we get a few Jedi sound effects here and there. You know, like it's cool. Like,
can she do the Jedi bit without Howie?
Yeah, she can. I mean, that's what they always called their studying, because you know she's going to be studying from the jump. Call it Jedi drilling. So I'm very excited about that. And that's actually of the catchphrases that we talked about in the lexicon of Big Brother. I would say Jedi drilling is probably the thing that's really carried over from that season.
Jedi drilling.
That's what they've called it. You know, where they're like trying to go over the facts of the house and like, you know, who went out and what.
I've never heard Taryn talk about Jedi drilling on the live feed update once.
Yeah, they don't really use the term anymore.
Well, maybe that's just me and I remember it more. But Chantel, back me up on this. When the fans are talking about the other house guests, when they're talking about them studying, that's what they call it. I mean, like, so that still carries over to this day, even on Twitter.
I'll agree.
Okay. Yeah. She's being nice. You're not leaving me hanging.
She doesn't want to.
You think that's Jedi drilling, but Jedi training, I remember a bit more.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
One thing about Janelle that I think is interesting is that she's played with both Dr. Will and Dan, the two biggest names in Big Brother, and they're both kind of similar archetypes in that like they are these like charismatic, kind of smarmy, charming, strategic, lying forces in the game. And I have to wonder if she's going to be looking out for players like that, like, say, a Tyler she might be particularly wary of, or even like Cody or Memphis, if they're there, as people that are like in that sort of kind, like that you could kind of see that they might give her flashbacks and make her worried, and she might want to target those kinds of people early so that they don't get any footing.
Yeah, that's a great point, Taryn, that I've been reading some books that talk about how, like, as human beings, the thing that's happened to us before, we look out too much for the thing that's happened to us before, and then we don't look at the thing that hasn't happened to us before. That's how we get hit with a pandemic, because, oh, that hasn't happened. Don't worry about that. It's not real. But the thing that did happen, then we get extra cautious about. So that could be a real thing to watch when we analyze the past games of these players. All right, Chantel, let me give you the final word on Janelle 4.0.
Well, I think that she has learned a lot. She's lived a few different decades within this Big Brother world. And, you know, she's made it to the final three. So she knows what that feels like. She knows how to get there in different kind of scenarios. And then she's also knows what it feels like to be voted out, be turned on, her charm not working. Like everything that's worked for her in the past was not working for her anymore. And she couldn't save herself. And I think that having that information stored in her body is going to help her navigate really, really well in this new season. I think that she knows how to get to the end, and now she just needs to learn how to take it to the end.
Okay. Chantel, where can people see more about what you're doing?
Most easy on Instagram at ShanFranFran, at C-H-A-N-C-H-A-N-N, not N, two N's, but one N. All my other links are going to be there and a link in the bio.
Okay. And of course, Brent, for up to the minute Big Brother rumor news, where's everybody going to go?
You can always find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out O-N-E.
Okay. And of course, Taryn, will be continuing to talk about Big Brother people. But just in case people are turning off the podcast now, where can people find more of you, Taryn?
You can find me on Twitter at ArmstrongTaryn or Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong.
But don't turn the podcast off because we'll be right back.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Chantel and Brent.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me. That was so fun. I love Jamie. Yay.
All right, there you go. There's our preview of Janelle Pierzina. Next up, we're going to talk about Cody Califiore. Very excited to get into that with Liana Boris and one of our newcomers, Amari Forth. But first, let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Brooklinen. Now, you've probably heard me talk about Brooklinen before. They're the home of the internet's favorite sheets, but their towels, they're also amazing. Look, with this extra time at home, you could either be a have or a have not, and it's time to invest in a little extra softness and absorbency. If you're looking for ways to turn your bathroom into a miniature spa, think not the downstairs bathroom of the Big Brother house, HOH bathroom we're talking about. Brooklinen's towels are going to help you find your zen. You're going to love the Brooklinen towels so much, you'll be blanketing like Audrey in Big Brother 17 all day long with your new towels from Brooklinen. Not to mention, like, people know that I'm a fan, especially right now on these hot, muggy summer nights. You don't want to be sleeping on hot sheets. Brooklinen is going to make you so comfortable at nighttime. You're going to sleep great and you'll be freezing like you're in the Big Brother house. It'll be a wonderful experience. Brooklinen is the perfect place to find all the comforts of home, including ultra soft towels. They're so confident in their product that everything comes with a lifetime warranty. Use promo code Rob for 10% off your first order at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code Rob. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life, or as I like to say, no sleep till Brooklinen. All right, I'm very excited to talk about our next hypothetical Big Brother guest who might be a part of the Big Brother All-Stars. Of course, back with us, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, are you ready to talk about a man who once upon a time, you once said, did not make such a bad move to take Derek to the final two? It's going to be Cody Califiore.
Yes, not the dumbest move, I think, was the specific wording. But yes, very excited to talk about Cody because I have long been an advocate for, you know, the idea that Cody is underrated as a player and a strategist, and people often overlook his contributions to the Hitmen. So okay, this should be fun.
My brother Cody.
Yes. Okay. All right. Also with us to talk about Cody Califiore. I'm interested to hear why she picked Cody Califiore. Of course, it's the great Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I was secretly hoping maybe last minute Polly Califiore would actually be the one we're talking about. Mm-hmm. No. I'm actually super stoked to talk about Cody. I was surprised when I saw him on the list, but then after thinking about his game a little bit more, I realized I think there's actually a good reason why he's here, and I'm kind of excited, as weird as that sounds, to see him play a second time.
All right. And also here with us today, a newcomer from the class of 2020. Please welcome Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hi, Taryn. Hi, Rob. I'm so excited to be here. Class of 2020 all day. And I'm actually excited that I got Cody as well. This might be an unpopular opinion, but I love BB16. Again, I wasn't watching the feeds during BB16. So that's probably why. But I love this season. I loved just the personalities in it. And I'm excited. I think Cody, I agree with Taryn. Cody is underrated. I think he played a near flawless game. I just think maybe he took the person who played the perfectly flawless game with him.
Okay. But Mark, before we talk about Cody and refresh our memories about Cody, we'd love to hear a little bit more about you for our listeners who are meeting you for the first time.
Yes. So I'm a big, big Brother fan. I've been watching, like, I caught a glimpse of it back in BB5 when I was like 15. I just remember being like, oh, this is cute. What is this? Caught a couple episodes, did that for BB5 and BB6. And then I got hooked, All Stars. My senior year, like going into high school, I was hooked. Kacer, Janelle, just the BB6 alliance. I loved that. And since then, I watched every season. And then I went back, watched the older seasons. Then I watched BB Can, watched a few BB UK celeb. And I started watching the feeds BB 18 to BB OTT. So I was on Twitter and a feedster for the BB OTT season. And I've been hooked ever since. I'm now glued to my laptop. I'm there. I know everything that's going on the BB streets. And it's rough out here.
Yeah. BB OTT got you in.
Yes. Oh, my God. So I was reading update accounts like as far back as 12. So I was reading, but like the blogs, not the real like line by line what happened every day. But yes, like being able to afford my own feeds and BBOTT really got me into the community, got me on Twitter, got me introduced to you guys. I started listening to you guys after BBOTT and haven't stopped since. So it was from that moment on that I was just all in for all the rest of the seasons up till now.
Okay, and Mari, why were you so excited to talk about Cody today?
Because, like I said, I viewed Derek was one of my favorite winners. And that season in itself was just so, it was such a perfect storyline, which, you know, it was a perfect storyline. But Cody, he played a good game. And people say his worst move was taking Derek, but I think his worst move was not getting rid of Victoria at 4 and not keeping Cowboy, because if I remember correctly, Cowboy was closer to Cody.
Great. All right. Well, let's talk about that here today as we relive some of BB16. Liana, for you to have Cody return to the show, what are you so excited about? Is it Cody's gameplay, Cody the character? What's the appeal of Cody for you?
I mean, have you seen him without a shirt, Rob?
Yes. Okay.
The real appeal of Cody.
It's just an aesthetic appeal.
Yes. No, I think that he's someone who's just really fun. He's a fantastic social player. And I think that is really the, you know, once you sort of get past, oh yeah, he took Derek to the end, that's the next thing I think that a lot of people think of when they think about Coda Calafiore, is that, well, he's flirting a lot with all the women in the house. Of course, he had the whole like thing with Christine, and he's flirting with Nicole, and of course with Amber. And I think that the flirtiness, but also at large, his social game in general, is one reason why I think that he's actually a really great person to be brought back. And if I was doing a draft for a winner of this season, Cody Calafiore would be top of my list.
Yeah. Taryn, do you feel like that Cody, coming back, Cody 2.0, has a real chance to shine in Big Brother All-Stars?
I mean, I honestly thought he shined in his original season. I really do. I do think that he can come back and succeed. It depends on who he's in there with. I think that some people will be a little bit skeptical of him, but I think his reputation actually helps him. He's most known for being too loyal, which is probably a good thing, especially because he doesn't come in with any concrete connections, probably. Now, being known for being too loyal can hurt you if people see that you're already loyal to somebody else. But if you look like a free agent that is a very loyal player who, when people bring you in, then that's a very valuable piece to pick up on the board. And that can work out really well for Cody, I think.
So, Mari, I know everybody remembers the Cody and Derek of it all from Big Brother 16 being the detonators, part of the bomb squad. But, you know, outside of the going to the end with Derek, that if you had to tell the story of Cody from BB16, what do you feel like his story was in that season?
I think it's his story, like Leanna said, he was a great social player. He played that first half of the season just really under the radar, or perceived as being under the radar. He was good with everybody. They got the detonators to the end, and then he turned it up. He started winning the comps. He started making the social moves. And I just think that he played a great social game. And I don't see the flaw of you know, he took Derek, but he was not going to take Victoria. And that was the problem. If he knew that was never going to be an option, he should have went with Caleb and then took his chances that way, because him and Victoria just never meshed. And he was so good. And it's just unfortunate that people don't give him his props just because he was sitting next to Derek and just because he was in an alliance with Derek. That could have gone either way. That vote could have gone either way. And I think anybody would have been okay with the winner.
Yeah, Liana, could you tell me some Cody from Big Brother 16 highlights?
Yeah, so I think like Mari was talking about early on, it was definitely a little bit under the radar. I think in the very first couple weeks of Big Brother, he's tangentially related to the big alliance that's in the house. So remember, BB16 was the first season of Battle of the Block. And that, of course, necessitated the group or at least pushed the group to form this like really big alliance. And he wasn't really the main part of that at the beginning. But because of his super strong relationships, that was why he started to be pulled in, and he started to be a lot closer, and he was flirting with the women of the house. So he was really close with both the men through sort of that male dominated alliance, and then also with the women. So early on, that was definitely his gameplay. And then as it went closer towards the end, of course, that large alliance just steamrolled, and then he was able to win those comps. And that final comp, the HOH part three, came down to the tiebreaker. Like, mm-hmm. It very much could have been that actually he's not remembered for making that terrible move, because if Derek wins, I mean, I don't know what Derek does, but then either Cody looks like, oh, the Rob G. Otis in third place, or it's like, oh, well, he got taken by Derek. Of course he was going to lose.
Yeah. Taryn, was Cody ever on the ropes on Big Brother 16? Was there ever a point where it looked like that he, things really could have gone sideways for him, where he ends up getting evicted?
Not really. There was maybe there's an HOH that he won over Donnie, that if Donnie had won, then maybe or maybe if Nicole had, you know, power, that maybe, you know, him and Derek might have ended up on the block. But Cody had a pretty good relationship with Donnie. The only way Cody goes home is if he's on the block next to Derek. And even then, it's kind of up in the air. And it was unlikely that that was ever going to happen, because nobody really was able to pinpoint that the two of them were together. And Cody was instrumental in Derek's success. His relationship with Donnie helped keep Donnie off of Derek's back way more than Team America ever did. His relationship to Nicole and Hayden was instrumental in keeping Nicole and Hayden off of Derek's back and ultimately pulling them in to form that sort of fake alliance that they had for a little while, which wasn't really fake because Derek was kind of in on it for a little while until he decided to keep Zach. But it was Cody's social relationships that helped really pave the way for Derek to dominate. And he wasn't a slouch strategically either. They did daily downloads and planned out their day every single day. And they had, you know, they talked things through. It wasn't like Derek was directing the action all the way through.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mari.
Sorry. I would agree with that. I mean, Cody literally was Derek's almost main pipeline of information. So without any of that information, Derek could have made those moves. But I want to ask you, Taryn, what about the reset button week when Cody and Victoria were on the block? Do you think anybody would have thought of pulling the trigger on him then?
No, Victoria was going home that week. Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
which is crazy, but it's a testament to the hitman.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
But so just to explore this dynamic between Derek and Cody a little bit, it sounds like that Cody was probably underrated in terms of being the person who was sort of really. I'm trying to use the right word here. I was going to say massaging, but I will not use that word. But maintaining a lot of the social relationships. Liana, is that fair to say?
Yes. I'm also trying to think of a word that's not massaging, but now that's all I can think about. I think especially for those people that would have been on to Derek earlier, like Taryn pointed out, I think that was something that was so fundamental. But I mean, even with the other members of the bomb squad and the detonators, like he was really just there. Like, I don't know if you guys remember when he was the dinosaur and he was out there in his mm-hmm. dinosaur costume, mm-hmm. just being goofy, like walking around with his arms up. And I think that just really encapsulates what Cody's, at least the outward gameplay appears to be, which is just this guy who's super friendly and really just keeping those relationships strong.
You know, Mar, I remember a time early on in the season, and I have the wiki open now. I guess it was week four, where that there was an episode where Cody had won the HOH, and then he had like a really big decision. I think that he was like debating whether or not that he was going to put Beast Mode Cowboy up on the block at the height of the Beast Mode Cowboy. Is he a loose cannon? Can we work with this guy? That do you feel like that Cody is a clutch decision maker? It seems like that he really had a lot of angst about trying to decide what he wanted to do.
I think, well, if what I remember in one of his interviews, he said that he was so close to everybody in the house that at one point it was almost a detriment because he eventually would have to get rid of those people. So deciding on putting Caleb up or not, I could see being that being a really hard decision for him. And I think later on when he did start whittling away the detonators, I think he thought to himself that they might be bitter against him going into the final two.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely can see him making those decisions right on the spot and just following his gut.
I'd love to talk a little bit about that Cody's second act in terms of Taren. How do you think that he is going to try to come back and play? Do you think that he's going to try to change the narrative about him, or do you think he'll play consistently like how he played in Big Brother 16?
I think he's smart enough to know that the narrative doesn't matter and that he will play into it. And I think that he will play for the win. I don't think that he will necessarily be, because like the biggest thing is, oh, you took Derek. But to this day, he's like, I took Derek. I needed to take Derek. I was always taking Derek. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal to his day-to-day game. If he, for some reason, he wins the final three HOH, it probably how is it going to impact that? He doesn't take Janelle, maybe? I don't know. I don't think it's really going to impact him all that much. But I do think your point earlier, which is that he does not do well with on the point decision making, that was probably his biggest flaw, was that Derek often had to rein him in emotionally, and Cody would often get riled up and want to go off and I'm gonna confront this person, I'm gonna go off on this person, and Derek would be like, chill, we can't do that. And so without Derek there to kind of keep the leash on Cody, I wonder how much Paulie we see from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think he was 24 when he played in Big Brother 16. Mm-hmm. And so, he's a little bit older now. And so I do wonder if that temperament may be a little bit quelled. But at the same time, I think Paulie is the older brother and he's, crazy. So that could also play a role. We might still see a little bit of that.
Liana, do you think that Cody comes in with any sort of damage control that he's trying to do in terms of Paulie's controversies on Big Brother and on the challenge, that he's much more of a wild card? Do you think that he feels any sort of internal pressure to behave a certain way or try not to fly off the handle because of Paulie?
I mean, it's possible, but I even though they are brothers, I really do view them so completely separately, and I wonder if that is just because Cody's I'm not involved. If Paulie Calafiore wants to have a mohawk and go dancing on the reunion of the challenge in a very embarrassing way, that's all on you, bro. I'm just gonna try to still do my modeling thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't need his meat as much. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal, but you never know with a reality TV world.
Yeah. Mari, do you think that Paulie Calafiore will be very active in the Big Brother community this summer, talking about and live tweeting the Big Brother episodes?
I don't know if he wants this fire here. I don't think he wants this BD Twitter fire, because I know
BD
a lot of people
streets.
Will let him have it.
Oh, so.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
His time in the challenge did not help.
Yeah.
And I agree with Liana. I view them as two completely separate entities. I can't. Mm-hmm. I would be really interested to see if what Taren says happens, because I never viewed Cody as really quick tempered as Paulie was.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting. But yeah, he's 29 now, I think, and I think that experience only helped.
Yeah. But Taryn, you brought up an interesting point about the Cody without Derek, that I feel like that in the history of reality TV, we've seen so many duos play like such a great game together where, you know, one plus one equals, you know, four or five in terms mm-hmm. of those two people working together. We talk about it a lot in Survivor with like Steven and JT and, you know, Malcolm and Denise, and they haven't had success as a solo act in the way that they had as a pair. Do you feel like that's going to be the case with Cody?
It very well could be, because, you know, you look at, you know, Dan in Memphis, and I mean, that's a potentially relevant combination as well. But in that partnership, it really was Dan who was directing Memphis's action and setting him up for the fall. And so when we see Dan come back, it's not super surprising that Dan is able to do that with anybody. However, as I said, Derek and Cody, I do think were a lot more together on things. They were working together. They were strategizing together. I do think that Derek was the better player in almost all aspects. Including the social game, you know, like Cody had crucial social connections, but Derek also had many social connections that helped Cody. But with that in mind, their games were so intertwined that seeing them separate, seeing Cody's in particular as the potentially lesser player, you could see holes in his game that we weren't able to see before because Derek was there to fill them in.
Liana, do you feel like that the game that we saw in Big Brother 16, where we had sort of like a big alliance and then a smaller big alliance, and then inside of that it was like the Russian tea dolls of alliances in Big Brother 16, do you think that Cody is going to seek out to have some sort of like big giant alliance with all of his relationships again, or do you think that we'll look to see him really focusing on one person?
You mean in terms of, oh, does he just try to find his one pair versus insulating himself? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Cody is someone who could probably recognize that the more relationships and the better that you are with people, yes, you may have this issue of, well, if I have to cut them at the end, are they going to be bitter because I have this close relationship with them? But the more people you're good with in the house, the safer you're going to be. And so whether or not it's through individual relationships with the fellow house guests, or if depending on what the actual alliance dynamic are, I think Cody is really, if from what I understand from seeing him play in 16, I would assume that he's really just going to focus on building those strong relationships, whether it be in a large alliance or just with one-on-one.
Yeah, Mari, how important was Cody to the formation of the bomb squad? Was it that the first, like the group of five basically drafted him, or was he part of the group that started and said, hey, we need to put these five guys together?
If I remember correctly, he was kind of on the outskirts of that, to the point where he said that when he first got into it, he was like, I don't know about this. And then Derek kind of convinced him to, like, let's just stick with these guys until we know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think he was on the outskirts of that. And we've seen him play with a large alliance, so I would love to just see him work his social connections and do what Taryn has been talking about for the past how many weeks? A good floater game, like a good solid floater game would be lovely to see from him, because he has the potential to do it, to pull it off, I think.
Yeah. Taryn, would you describe Cody 1.0 as a floater?
Sure. I mean, you know, certainly, you know, him and Derek were very, very Danielle and Jason in that they were a secret floating pair together. And then they also kind of floated separately, but they were always comparing notes and working together. So not a floater in the like individual Andy June sense, but definitely in the sort of like Jason, Danielle, or you know, Dan, Will, you know, those kinds of players, definitely more along those lines.
Liana, how do you think that Cody would play from the bottom in a season where we saw him mostly in power throughout all of Big Brother 16 with the bomb squad and with Derek? But what if he was on the wrong side of the numbers in the house? How do you think he would handle that?
That would be interesting. That's where I'm having the, oh, what is the Pauly Calafiore side? Does that come out if he's backed into a corner? Does he cry over perhaps a moth this time and not a butterfly, unlike his brother? So I don't know. I would assume, just based on his demeanor, he just seems so cool and calm. Of course, you know, like we said, that's when he was in power. I'm trying to think of, like, if there are any of the times, I mean, even when he was on the block that one week, but still, like, he was never really in danger because Zach was insane and also needed to go home for a few weeks there. So I don't think we've ever really seen what he was like when he was backed into a corner. Although I do have to imagine that just because he's so incredibly calm, that it actually wouldn't be that bad. I don't think we would have necessarily the sort of explosiveness that we might see from some of his family members.
Mari, do you think that he is going to be consciously looking for a new Derek, to somebody who sort of like fits the Derek profile in this cast, to sort of recreate that relationship?
If he was smart, he would put out the perception that he was looking for the new Derek and just tell everybody they're his.
Hey,
Derek.
Will you be my Derek?
Danielle Reyes, first All-Star. So, I mean, he should lean on that and use it as a shield to make everybody trust him, but I don't think he needs it. I really think he wants to, if he's going to come into the game with any baggage, I think he wants to show that he can stand on his own.
Yeah. Taryn, I feel like that's probably how he's looking at it also, but I just wonder if that he might be very mistake prone trying to say, hey, I'm the Derek now.
I could see that. I could. I think that if there's any kind of, you know, historical element to his game, I do think the idea that he can do it on his own, he doesn't need Derek to succeed, could be something that trips him up. I don't expect him to look for a Derek. I don't think he'll find a Derek in here. You know, it would be great, like, if he could link up with Tyler. I think they could work well together, but Tyler probably already has people. So that's not going to work out, and I don't think he'll go for it. I think that he will try to play his own game and won't be, because here's the thing, Cody has a reputation for loyalty. He was loyal to Derek. He's not very loyal to anyone else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the Cody we're going to see this season.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Liana, there could be some Big Brother 16 connections here in this house, one of which is Nicole Franzel, somebody who that he was aligned with at different points in Big Brother 16. Do you think that that's a good relationship for Cody to hypothetically have in this house?
I think unless Nicole is ostracized for some other reason, then yeah, I think it makes sense. You're trying to build as many relationships as possible. And I think that in a different world, like let's say Derek hadn't been in Big Brother 16, like who knows what that relationship could have looked like. They could have persisted much longer because, you know, Derek was the one who was freaked out that, oh, Nicole is on to me, so I have to get rid of her. Otherwise, you know, I think that Nicole and Cody really could have worked together.
Yeah, Mari, if I recall this correctly, I feel like that once upon a time in Big Brother 18, Pauly Calafiore played with Nicole. And I remember, I think that Nicole had won the first HOH and Pauly Calafiore was somebody who volunteered to go up on the block at that point. And I think that it came out afterwards or on the live feeds that season that, well, Cody had already been, you know, he knew that he was safe with Nicole and that would be a solid relationship. So I do think that there is a longstanding relationship from that time between the Calafiore family and Nicole. But do you have any reason to suspect that maybe that relationship could have soured?
Yeah, they told us that Derek and Cody had did a little bit of pre-gaming on Pauly's behalf. So that didn't surprise me. I think going into games like this with any type of returnee season, it's better the devil you know than the one you don't know. So even if you walk in with somebody who may have screwed you before, it might be better to put water under the bridge and trust them for this go round and you know, try and work with them. So I can definitely see them possibly linking up and forming something. It's not out of the box.
Yeah. Taryn, I don't want to get too gossipy and salacious, but we have some reason to believe that Derek had tweeted something out about how he's not happy with Nicole right now. Do you think that there could be maybe some friction between Cody and Nicole coming into BB16? Or BB22?
Yes. It seems like, you know, at the very least, that Nicole was probably a little bit messy in the pregame. And it probably had some kind of impact on Derek. And if it had an impact on Derek, then it probably had some impact on Cody. And even if it didn't, the fact that she's been pretty messy in the pregame means she's probably going to be a target, ostracized, something heading into the season. And I could very, very easily see a situation where Cody is like, hands off. Like, I'm not connected to Nicole. I don't, she didn't talk to me. You know, she did the same thing to me or whatever it is. Like I'm with you guys on Nicole. Like, she screwed up.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Cody's connections coming into the game are actually really interesting because, I mean, obviously we don't know exactly who's in there, but he could have very few because as far as I know, and maybe you guys know more, but Cody kind of dropped off the radar. Like he did the modeling thing for a while, but in terms of being part of the reality TV community, he kind of was not really a part of that. So he's not building those relationships, but that could be a good thing depending on how messy everything gets. He could just sort of been like, look, I'm loyal. Like I'm just trying to find my Derek. Just someone try to pick me up instead of sort of being intertwined with all of the pre-existing relationships.
Yeah. This is very interesting because I do feel like that he does have a little bit of a temper, not necessarily as much as his brother, but so if he does have an axe to grind potentially against Nicole for whatever reason, like I could see him definitely wanting to act on it early on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he would like have an axe to grind or like go after her, but I could definitely see like a disassociation or even like if he wins the first HOH, like see guys, I'm not with Nicole, like I'm willing to put her up if she's the house target, but I don't know if you would actively gun for her thinking like because I don't, like, who else does she have? It seems like not many people, but the thing I'd be worried about if I'm Cody is potentially Janelle. That Janelle, who has played with Dr. Will and Dan, who might be, again, sort of like very skeptical of this archetype, and might be thinking, I don't want to let this person stay here too long and have a chance to build something.
Mm, interesting.
I think that's really interesting. Janelle going after Cody, that'd be pretty epic. I mean, to get him out of the way so she can win all the vetoes. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Another Big Brother 16 person that is potentially hypothetically in the mix is Amber from Big Brother 16. Mari, could you refresh my memory? Any notes on the relationship between Cody and Amber from Big Brother 16?
So this is what I'm really interested in because I think if Caleb wasn't in the picture, Amber, I think, would have hollered at Cody personally. So I just want to know, are they both single? Do we know? I mean, because I can see that. I would love to
Terrence
see them
is shaking,
team up.
Shaking your head, you don't know, or to shaking your head that no, they're not single?
Cody is not single. I don't think.
What is that? Is he married?
I'm not sure. He has a long term girlfriend, I believe.
Okay. Well,
that doesn't mean much
them.
In the Big Brother house, Taryn.
Boo for us.
Yeah. We'll see.
But that does have an impact on his social game because flirting was such an essential part of it.
Hmm.
No, if I remember correctly, part of the reason why he was also considering putting up Beast Mode Cowboy was because Beast Mode Cowboy is being all creepy pants towards Amber. Yeah. And Amber was like, one, can you get rid of him? And also, Cody's like, I want to mack on her. So if I get rid of Beast Mode Cowboy,
smart.
That kind of two birds with one stone.
Hmm. Okay.
What could have been?
Yeah. But Liana, do you feel like that Amber coming back, that I'm not sure what kind of relationship she would have with Nicole, if she's hypothetically in the mix here, I mean, that's almost like a pair right off the bat. I mean, who else does she even know?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, talk about Cody disappearing. Like, Amber, really, we hadn't heard anything from.
Yeah.
Except for, I think, that one music video she did. But, yeah. So that could definitely be a pairing. I mean, I think then, okay, does Cody want to feel like, okay, is this my person? Am I really going to, like, latch on to her? Or do we need to try to, like, not be so obvious of a pair? Which I think would be an interesting hurdle for him to deal with.
Okay. Taryn, any thoughts on the Amber and Cody potential pairing from the Cody perspective?
I mean, I think that Cody would not refrain from aligning with Amber if it was a possibility, if she's there and willing. I think that it would be a good person to work with. You know, yes, they flirted a bit, but there was never anything really there, nothing too serious. So it's not like it's going to be awkward. Okay. And there's also not like a super concrete connection that people would be like, oh, Cody and Amber, they're a dangerous duo. I think that that's not going to be too much of an issue. And she can even play up like, hey, he voted me out. Like, we're not that close.
All right, well, let's talk about some other hypothetical people that could be in the house with Cody in terms of allies. Does anybody have some people that really jump out as a very probable connection for Cody?
I mean, if we're talking about Dan and Derek pre-gaming, then we have to throw Memphis into the picture with Cody.
Wow. And that's like an arranged marriage, Mari. It's like, exactly. Hey, okay, well, if I'm not going to be there, then then my friend should get together with your friend and then make that happen.
And I really don't know what that pairing would honestly look like, because, I mean, I don't know what Memphis could bring to Cody's game that would help him or fill his holes like Derek did. I don't see that. I don't know if Karen, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's a dangerous pairing for them. Mm-hmm. That, like,
which is exactly why Derek and Dan would want it to happen. see what happens without us?
Because if they get together, if they're an obvious pair, then they are invoking the names of Dan and Derek, and that will scare people a lot, I think. So I don't think that they should be working closely together like that. If they do, they need to be very secretive about it. And quite honestly, you know, we talk about Dan and Derek pregaming, but I don't know if Dan and Derek, we don't know if Dan and Derek would work together if they were in a season. And I don't know if they would encourage their, you know, partners to work together either. They could be encouraging their partners to be like, we are the better duo. We need to make sure we outperform. I don't know. I don't think this is like, a solid connection necessarily. So it'll be very interesting to see how they interact if they are on the same season.
No, I love this fan fiction of like the rival duos going at one another, and the pre-gaming was actually just trying to throw each other under the bus. And so then, like, when Memphis comes in the house, they're going to be going at each other. That would be hilarious. I would love that.
Okay. Well, Liana, do you see any potential pairs for Cody that might be a better fit than Memphis?
I don't know. I mean, looking at the rumored cast list, there didn't seem to be anybody that really jumped off the page for me. I think that, you know, Cody is someone who can build relationships with a lot of different people. And so I think that, you know, depending on whoever is in the house, like, he really could just try to be friends with everybody and kind of go from there. You know, he was, yes, I mean, I guess we can talk about like the moments he did have a temper, but like in the beginning, it's not like he was trying to wrangle relationships in order to build alliances per se. You know, he was the one who was kind of just like letting sort of things come to him. You know, yes, there was the Hitman Alliance. It was made on day two. And I can't remember like who proposed to who in that relationship, but he just sort of was able to collect these alliances. And I think that that's something that we could see happen in Big Brother 22 as well.
Mm-hmm. Taryn, I know you mentioned potentially Janelle. Do you see anybody else in this cast list hypothetically that could be a problem for Cody?
I mean, I do think that Tyler could also be a problem. I think that especially if you're somebody, you know, of Tyler's caliber of player and people talk about you, you know, up there, you're probably going to be a little bit concerned about the other people that could theoretically be in that conversation or are close to people in that conversation. I would be worried about a player like Cody if I'm Tyler, because Cody potentially has, you know, all, like, similar skill sets, but a much lower threat level. Like, Cody could easily come in and be the Tyler of the season, with Tyler being targeted for being too threatening. And that's not good for Tyler. And so he could be concerned about that. He's also coming in as a potential free agent, which depending on who's in and who's out, Tyler may also be coming in as. They may end up trying to play similar games, which could either force them together like a June and Allison, or make them target each other like a June and Allison. So, who knows?
Yeah, Mari, when we look at like alliance construction of the types of games that people have played in the past, when you talk about like, okay, well, the Bomb Squad was kind of like the bros in the house ended up putting together a group where that Tyler was part of Level 6, which was, three men and three women. But Tyler was like the least threatening of those three guys, probably, in terms of like the although he did win an early challenge. I think that the other guys maybe might have been seen as more of like physical competition threats early on. Mm-hmm. So how do you see Cody, an alliance that he ends up making? Do you think that he would try to gather together the men in the house, or do you think that he would be part of something that would be combined between the men and the women of the house?
Like I said, I would hope that he would like just kind of lean back and let the game come to him than to actually build an alliance. But I could definitely see him. I couldn't see it just being like bro down with him. I think he would really want to get a whole mix of people. And going back to who I think could make an alliance with him, I could kind of see Davon has a lot of connections in the house. So if she starts to build an alliance and he gets in on that alliance, I think that would be kind of good for him. But I don't think he should really. I think he should just kind of wait, let the game come to him, make those connections, see the house out, and then go from there. I really want him to do just like his past game, to be honest.
Yeah. And that's what he did in the first game. It was the alliances came to him, and the connections that he made the most were often more women than men. He was not really a bro kind of player. He connected to Christine, to Nicole, to Amber, and he had problems with people like Caleb and Frankie, and he did connect sometimes with Zach, but it was off and on at times. And even like Donnie, like it was somebody that he connected with. He connected with like those, the not the bro-y types. So I would expect that if that's where he gravitates toward in his first season, we might see that again this season.
Okay. Liana, which of the women are most likely to fall under Cody Calafiore's spell in this season? And why will it be Christmas?
Depends. How many legs does she break? How much morphine does she get when she's in the house? That's an interesting choice in terms of having Christmas back. I don't know. Maybe we'll be celebrating Hanukkah this year, so Cody will stay away from Christmas.
Taryn, I also feel like that Enzo hypothetically is going to gravitate towards Cody Calafiore.
I think so. I mean, Enzo is definitely a bro-y kind of guy, and I think that he would want to bro down with the Codys of the world. So I could see him gravitating toward Cody, and I think that Cody would get along with Enzo. But I think that Cody has to be very careful about that sort of thing. I think everybody is going to be watching Enzo, waiting for him to try to recreate the brigade, which is probably what he's going to try to do. And I do not think that he will be able to successfully secretly make it happen. So Cody does not want to get, I think, too involved in that.
Yeah. Mari, I think that the beauty of the Cody game is I feel like that almost no matter who he's up on the block against, like he's probably very rarely ever the person that the house wants to send home.
Yeah, I agree. You got to draft him first, because if he can talk those people into not getting rid of Victoria on that last round, he should do fine. I want to see him kind of with Ian as well. I want to see what that would kind of be like. That'd be interesting. Cody and Ian, but I really think that he has a really good shot. If he works his social game like he did in his previous season, I don't see what scenario can get him to leave unless he is on the outskirts of a really big alliance. And I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. Taryn, it would be tough to see, like, who is he up on the block against where the House sends him home?
I mean, I could see maybe, you know, him versus David, if David is on the cast, you know, people going after these like physical threats and deciding that Cody is more dangerous than David is, you know, something like that, I think could happen. Again, I think if he goes, it's probably on his reputation and it would probably be early. If he has a chance to really get in and set his social hooks into people, that's when he starts to seem less threatening.
Yeah. Liana, do you feel like that there's going to be a high degree of success for Cody coming into the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think because he's not remembered for being particularly strategic, again, combine that with people really liking him, no one's going to vote him out. I mean, I think unless there are some sort of pre-existing relationships that he's not a part of, could be a reason why he goes early. But I think if he can stick around for a couple of weeks, I think he has a really great shot. I mean, he would have won Big Brother 16 if, you know, if not for potentially one different decision that was made along the way. And I think he's going to do quite well.
Yeah, he could also play that to his advantage if he wanted to. Like, no matter who he's making a deal with, like, to potentially go to the end. You're like, hold on, wait, why? You're going to go to the end with me? Like, I took Derek to the final two. I don't care. You know, like, all right, well, you make a good point, you know. So I don't think you have to be necessarily worried that he's going to necessarily cut you. So, yeah, I think he's probably in a really good spot coming into this season. Taryn, any reason for concern for the Cody stands?
I mean, all of this crazy last minute shuffling, you know, how long did people have their phones in sequester? It seems like
that could hurt him.
I do think it could hurt him because I think that, you know, his name wasn't out there at all until people went into sequester. And I think that was on purpose. And then once his name got out because people went into sequester, then people were able to find out, maybe organize some kind of counter plan. Who knows? That could be bad. And also just like the shifting of the people on the cast. If he was doing pre-gaming and was prepared for a certain, you know, cast layout, and he ends up going into the house and half the cast is different, that could really interfere in some bad ways.
Yeah. Now, as we've said many times through this podcast, this cast is very much in a state of flux. No doubt that we have talked about people potentially either in this game or in Janelle's game that may or may not be even in the season. So we are very much flying blind as well. But Liana, we expect the unexpected.
That's right. It is Big Brother after all.
Yes. Okay. All right. Liana, any final thoughts on Cody?
No, I think we did a really good job summing up his game. I mean, I think, you know, social, pretty non-threatening, and at least the reputation is that he's loyal, and I think he's going to do a good job.
Okay. Taryn, how about you? Any other thoughts for Cody?
I am also optimistic about his chances. I think that he's definitely somebody to watch out for on the season. Very curious to see how he plays without Derek.
Mari, will you plant your flag that Cody will be the winner of Big Brother All-Stars?
No, because I would love some other people to win, but I definitely see him going far. Like Taryn said, he's either going to go out early or he's going to make it really far. So,
will you share your pick for who you think will win?
Well, I love Davon Rogers, so I have to go for her.
Okay.
But is
that a head pick or a heart pick?
It's a heart pick all the way.
Oh, I want to know the head pick.
The head pick, you know what? The head pick would probably be Cody because I don't see him. He's not right now a big fish in a small pond yet. But like Taryn said, depending on who gets taken away from the cast, maybe his target gets bigger just because of who's there. But I think he has a really high chance of making it. So maybe he is the head pick.
Taryn, did Cody get really bent out of shape about the Zingbot? Am I remembering that wrong, or is that he was Christine's zing? Yeah, was that what it was?
Yeah, the zing about his was actually about Christine.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure.
And he was mad about that.
I don't think so.
I think he was probably like upset for Christine, he was definitely okay. I'm remembering now. He was definitely worried, especially because then Christine went out and they heard the booze, and he was getting very worried about like, oh my, how am I being portrayed in this whole situation? But yeah, I don't think he was like took offense to things too easily in that sense. Like I said, he did often get riled up, especially about things like Caleb. But apart from that, I don't think so. Yeah. Not too much.
Karen, I also remember it being like a meme in BB16 that he was always going to go like, I'm going to go and confront this person. Yes. Like he would talk a lot about that.
Yes, he would be.
Hold me back. I'm going out there.
Yeah. And Derek would be like, no. We gotta chill. We don't need to do that. And he'd be like, I'm gonna go do it. I'm gonna do it. Nope.
I don't know. It always felt to me though that it was kind of like, hold me back, guys. Hold me back. Like he wasn't actually gonna do it necessarily, but now we've seen Polly, so who knows?
Mm-hmm. So. And like I also like a large part of that. Like meminess was that people wanted to see drama that season. They were like, give us something. It's been so boring.
Don't tease us.
So they were like so frustrated with Cody that he kept threatening to do something entertaining and then didn't.
I think him and Caleb had like a fake fight too at one point, and people were like, is this for real? Or is this, are they really fighting?
Mari, was it Cody that was scared of the mouse, or was Beast Mode Cowboy? That did Cody make the mouse?
Oh, it was Cody. When Frankie did a good job of selling that there was a rodent in the house, and Cody would be on the chair, just hopped up. It was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I love that season.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, hot take. I love that season, and I know you. A lot of people don't. I know, Jared. I know.
Okay, Mari, should people go back and rewatch BB16 this week?
No, I think I just watched the last episode just to. Hammer out the jury questioning. I wanted to see the jury questioning again, but that was it. I remember it. It's pretty good. That's like one of the seasons that really imprinted on me I was watching it, and I really felt for it going on.
And how did Cody do with the jury questioning?
He actually did pretty good, but he didn't bring up his comp wins. He should have kind of hammered that home and how he was the one who did the dirty work at the end. He got those comp wins. He got them to the end, and he didn't hammer that out. He was so busy being on the defensive about being the puppet. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. All right, Mari. Well, this was so great to get to catch up with you to talk about Cody Calafiore. Where can people follow you?
Okay. I'm on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much, two as in the number two. I'll be there with everybody. Get off my tweets that are there. So find me there. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Well, Mari, thank you so much for coming on with us. Of course, Liana has a recently changed Twitter handle. It's Liana, RHAP. Liana, do you have some Big Brother news about your podcasting that you want to break?
Do I?
Yeah. Okay. I was under the impression that the B&B was going to be continuing on into Big Brother season.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me. There's so much going on. So Mike and I are going to be doing the RHAP B&B for Big Brother, and we're actually going to be doing it every week. Super excited about that. We're going to be having guests playing games and all of the shenanigans throughout the entire Big Brother 22 season. So look out for that. I think it's going to be a ton of silliness and a ton of fun.
Okay. And how's the drag race going?
The BB. Yes. The RHAP BBB&B. And then we have the RHAP BBB&B B&C, which is our breaking news segment that we do over our B&B. So quite the mouthful, stars. So Drag Race is also going on. We just wrapped up All Stars 5. We're going to be continuing on with Canada's Drag Race, which has been a ton of fun. And then the RHAP 90 Day Fiancé coverage is going to be starting soon. And so I was on the very first podcast with Puya Zanvakili, who's going to be hosting that, to talk about all of the 90 Day Fiancé nonsense.
Okay. Liana, in anticipation, I actually did watch the first episode of before. Is it before the 90 days? The is that the what's the one with Big Ed?
That is before the 90 days.
Yeah,
yes.
I don't really understand what the difference is between that and regular 90 Day Fiance because it seemed exactly the same, but I loved it.
So before the 90 days is when they don't actually have the K-1 visa yet to come to the United States. So the U.S. person is just going to visit the foreign fiance.
Okay.
And it's even more dramatic and more insane because they're not legitimate couples yet.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it so much. Yeah. They were even crazier than the regular 90 Day Fiance people.
So I watched Before the 90 Days season one first before I ever saw a regular 90 Day. And that's the season. That's what got me hooked Before the 90 Days. And Big Ed especially is quite the character.
Big Ed is great. And maybe as a punishment this season, people should put mayonnaise in their hair. That should have to be one of the... Every time the bell rings that they have to go put mayonnaise in their hair, that'd be like Big Ed. All right, Taryn, I know that this is serious stuff, Taryn. We got to talk about Big Brother. Taryn, where can people keep up with what you're doing?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn or twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We'll, of course, have live feed updates every day that the feeds are on whenever that happens.
Yeah, Taryn, do you have any sort of news on in terms of like when we should anticipate the feeds starting up? No, we know nothing. No. We know nothing. We don't even, we're making podcasts and we don't even know who the cast is.
Yeah,
it's not going to stop us. Like
the schedule too is that there's a show on Wednesday.
We don't know.
Nothing scheduled for Thursday, and then Sunday at 10, it says it's a rerun, but it's only an hour when Wednesday was 2 hours. And so, what does that mean? Well, does that mean we're getting move in, and then a week later we're getting another episode?
No, I think it could be just a replay because that. With Tough as Nails, which I've been covering with Mike Bloom and Jessica Lease, they had been replaying Tough as Nails a lot on Sunday, the same episode. So I do think that it's probably a replay on Sunday where they're probably like they have the first episode and then I could totally see them like re-airing the first episode to get people excited for when the next episode is going to be. But yeah.
Which is strange because the first episode is a 2-hour premiere and then the rerun is 1 hour. But then what does that mean for the feeds if there's no Big Brother episode, no new Big Brother episode all week? Does that mean that we're just getting the move in and they're doing that normal sort of like they're in the house with no feeds for a week and then we get the season started proper?
Yeah, I'm praying for a night one feeds, which I like BBOT pizza.
We'd be excited.
We would forgive all of this if they did that.
Mari, on a typical season, though, they move them in like a week before first episode. So I don't know if they're going to potentially have some sort of like a highlight package on August 5th of like, hey, here's who the All-Stars are. Here's a little bit about them, you know, clips from their past season. Then they move in. And then whether we have live feeds or not, it may be a week of like cutting stuff together to give us that first episode of like how that first HOH plays out.
Yeah. I mean, expect the unexpected.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see exactly how it goes. But we'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll give you more updates as they come. Of course, we'll be back with more hypothetical previews of the different players that we may or may not be seeing on this season. We can't promise you we're not going to put out a podcast with somebody that doesn't even make the show, or you might see somebody who we didn't even preview because we didn't know that they were going to be there. But that's what we're doing. Please don't add us unless it's like, hey, no matter what, we love having the podcast anyway. So we appreciate that. Of course, all this podcasting is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Find out more about everything we're doing in our Rob's Podcast patron community over at robiswebsite.com/patron. There you go. Our first two hypothetically speaking interviews are in the books. Very excited to keep this series going. We'll have another episode tomorrow featuring two new previews of players that are going to be hypothetically in the game. This list changes fast, and so we're going to try our best to keep on top of it, but make sure you don't miss an episode. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhaswebsite.com/iTunes to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, or robhaswebsite.com/Spotify to subscribe to us on the Spotify podcast platform. Thank you again so much for listening. I'm at Rob Sesternino on Twitter. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.